Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
Thank you.
Welcome, family, to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. That's right. I'm not going to surprise you. It is he. I am he. Welcome. You know, as I do on all shows, family, I start off thanking the family for their time because, you know, time is the most valuable asset that we can offer anything and anyone. And I'm always grateful when you all decide to tune in and listen to the shows, especially on Fridays, because I know Fridays are big party nights in certain places. And it means a lot, trust me, especially on a show like tonight's show, when people take the time out to listen and tune in to what's going on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. With that being said, I want to send out my normal acknowledgments to my EOTM family on the West Coast as well. You know, we got Carla B. out there with Jimmy EOTM Baker, our Lady Q, who, by the way, is going to be joining us tonight, chiming in with us on the show tonight. And also, can't forget about Ronnie, First Lady of GPT, Queen G, of course, and my man Ron and his sidekick Mother Jenkins here in the Atlanta area with me, Don EOTM Adams. And for those of you who like to keep up with our show information, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Studio call-in for tonight, family, as always, is 718-664-6543. My personal email address, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. Also, family, I've been neglectful because you know what? You can also find me on Facebook, Don EOTM Adams on Facebook, which is also where I normally advertise and put out the show topics. So I felt like I need to put that out there. I should have been doing that. And also, the blog room is open for those of you who enjoy the blog room. I do have it open tonight. No technical difficulties with that aspect of the program. Also, I want to say send shouts out to our family in Jamaica. Haven't heard from them in a while, but I know that they're still there because, you know, when we have the shows, family, I can usually see who's listening and where. So I know that they're usually with us, family in Jamaica. Of course, the UK, Australia. That's right, Australia, the country Australia, New Zealand. That's right, family, this show is international. We do have listeners overseas, for those of you who did not know. But with that being said, family, let's keep it moving. We've got a pretty interesting show lineup for you tonight. And also for you entrepreneurs that are out there, tonight is Call In and Shout Your Business Out night. But you know what, family, the first hour of this show is going to be dedicated to a higher cause. So for all you entrepreneurs out there that are going to want to call in, and, you know, shout out your businesses. Let's wait until about 8:30 or so before we do that because the first part of the show is going to be dedicated to a higher cause. With that being said, I kind of want to go ahead and just get right into it. No, family, I'd like to let you know what the highlights of the shows are. Tonight we're going to have on Sherry Fairfax, who is a businesswoman in the Atlanta area. She is a bone marrow donor. Before I go into that aspect of it, let me say this. Tuesday night, family, we had a segment on the show. We did a show on dyslexia Tuesday night, and it's a pretty good show, I had. And we also did a segment on bone marrow transplants. And we were very, very fortunate to have with us a lady by the name of Phyllis Thomas, whom at the time I had no idea she was as well-versed in the topic as I've come to find out that she is. But she touched lightly on bone marrow transplants, which was not by accident, it was by design. And tonight, family, is part two to that topic, the bone marrow transplants, which brings me to what the first hour is really pretty much going to be dedicated to, a young lady by the name of Taylor John, a young lady, 15 years of age, who is on the recipient list for a bone marrow transplant here in the Atlanta area. But her story is a very unique one, family, because she is about to be removed from the list. And I won't go into the details of it, but I'll wait until she gets she calls in onto the show and let her share that portion of it with you. But it's a very interesting story, family, and I will be honest with you all. You know, as far as the show is concerned, there's two main goals that we have here tonight. Number one is to put her story out there and to educate people about bone marrow transplants and to give you information on where you can go to become a donor should you decide to do so. And as I also advertised for the show, I put it out there that, you know, has anyone ever wondered what a real hero looks like? Heroes are those people that save lives. And here is how you can be a hero: by becoming a bone marrow transplant donor. You just never know. You might get the call, you might not. But the fact that you're willing to put your name on that list in the hopes that you may be called to save a life is a wonderful thing. You know, thousands of people are in need of bone marrow transplants. And you know what, family? It's easy. It's just as easy as just making yourself available for the transplant list. It's really simple to sign up. As a matter of fact, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And again, I already mentioned Taylor John, who's a 15-year-old African-American female, and that she's currently on the donation list, and she's in real need. And I don't think I need to say anything else about that until she comes on. Let me open up the lines. I know we've got some callers already on. 770-460, I think that's Ms. Thomas.
Hello, Don.
Hey, how are you, Ms. Thomas?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's my pleasure. Before we bring you on, Ms. Thomas, I want to go ahead and give a brief a bio. Well, actually, you can just tell the family about yourself, what you do. And I know that you mentioned the Soldier Network. So, you know, give the family some details on that and just basically tell us who you are. And, you know, there you go.
Okay. All righty. My name is Phyllis Thomas, also known as Phyllis Zachary Thomas. I'm a 46-year-old African-American with sickle cell anemia, which is the severe form of sickle cell disease. Most people that have sickle cell anemia are really kind of faced with dealing with the life expectancy, because the life expectancy for a female with sickle cell anemia is 45 years old. And when I reached that point in my life, because of my battle with sickle cell over the years, I had really grown tired of, you know, just living another day with the disease. And I knew that either I was going to give up or I was going to need some help. And the only way I was going to really fight this disease was if I formed some network of supporters, because my mother had recently passed. She had a ruptured brain aneurysm and spent 7 years bedridden. So after she actually died, I was just kind of left out there without a real support system, because she was my everything, which led me to a series of things that kind of got me to where I am now. And I am the current founder of the SCD Soldier Network, which is a volunteer organization that's dedicated to bringing more awareness to sickle cell disease and supporting those who have it. And, you know, one of our greatest missions is to really get out and support those that have the disease in any way that we possibly can. And I just co-authored a book with Atlanta historian Dan Moore of the Apex Museum. And it's called Sickle Cell Disease 100 Years Later. And in the book, it actually speaks of my battle with sickle cell and how it led me to forming the SCD Soldier Network. And you can also hear stories of others just like me who have had countless hospitalizations, blood transfusions, and all sorts of medical problems as complications of sickle cell. And Taylor John is one of those people. She's 15 years old and has sickle cell disease. And because of the massive problems that she had, she became a candidate for bone marrow transplant. And so I just want to kind of let people know that there is an organization out here. We're a national group, and we're just trying to bring awareness to sickle cell and all of the challenges that come with it.
I have one question I want to ask you about sickle cell, and I'm learning, you know, as we go with some of the information that I've had to research in preparing for this show. And I see all the other callers calling in, and I'm going to open the lines up. And Ms. Taylor is going to be with us for the duration of the show as well. So you all that have questions for her, will be able to do so, call in and ask those questions. And her number, the number to call in is going to be 718-664-6543. But here's my question for you, Phyllis, if I could ask. You don't mind if I call you Phyllis, do you?
No problem.
Okay. Well, here's my question for you, Phyllis, is that is sickle cell primarily a black disease? I've often heard that I've heard off and on that it isn't, and I've heard that whites or people of other or ethnic backgrounds can be affected by it. Is it primarily just a black disease, black condition?
Well, let me say, in the United States, it is primarily a black disease. It affects those from African descent, those from the Mediterranean, also places like Turkey and Greece and Spain, places that were known for being plagued with malaria, is really how you kind of break the disease down. And in the United States, that just happens to be the African-American population. It's very important that we don't, you know, think of it just as a black disease, because when you think of it like that, it really kind of shuts down the other population of people that somehow are not connected with that. And so, yes, it is primarily a black disease in the United States, but it affects, you know, all ethnic backgrounds, and especially those that have heritage that comes from countries plagued by malaria, because sickle cell is actually the body's response to malaria. There was a mutation in the red blood cell that protected against the malaria virus. And, you know, a person with the trait is less likely to actually get malaria. But the problem comes when two trait carriers produce a child with sickle cell. And so now we have a major problem.
Yeah, exactly. I did know about that. You know, I'd also heard too that if you had the trait, if you had or something traumatic or stressful could also trigger the trait to actually becoming the disease itself. I'd heard that.
It doesn't actually become the disease, but you begin to get symptoms because you begin that sickling process, and so you know, overexertion, going into high climates and stuff like that will begin to trigger the body. So it's not that you go from having the trait to having the disease. It just turns on that sickling.
Wow. Let me open up the line, 909-227. You're on the air. I think this is Q. Is that Q?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Don?
Hey, Q. I'm good, Q. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say hello to you and Carla and all the EOTM family, as well as the listeners and Ms. Taylor. I basically am listening in, but I do have a question. My brother actually is a sickle cell. He has sickle cell trait, and he's the only one of us where if my mother and father had seven children, he's the only one that has it. My brother is 39 now, and he actually, within the last 4 years, have been having really bad seizures. Could that be anywhere connected to? Because he hadn't had any problems up until this is going on. You know, so I'm wondering, could that actually be one of the symptoms of something that's triggered by sickle cell or a trait or anything like that, if you would happen to know?
I wouldn't think so, but what I would suggest is that he be retested just to make sure, because with him being 39 years old, the testing could have been, he could have, you know, have sickle cell disease itself, and it has not caused him any problems. This is something that I became aware of since I started advocating for sickle cell, because I thought most people, you know, because I was diagnosed at 6 months old, so I thought most people knew all of their lives. And a lot of people didn't find out until later in life because they weren't having any real problems that caused them to be tested. So my first thing would be have him retested to make sure that it is only the trait and not the disease itself.
Right. And see, the thing is also with that, my brother, I know he says he's fatigued a lot. He's really tired. He ended up losing his job, you know, behind a lot of what's going on now. He's frustrated behind that. So we're trying to get him back into the hospital. It's just a really, really drawn out process that, you know, he has to go through, the steps he has to go through. So, but I will relay that to him. I thank you so much for that information.
No problem.
Absolutely. Appreciate the question. And by the way, Phyllis Q is a part, or she's actually one of our newest additions to the EOTM family. She's operating out in the Los Angeles area along with Carla B. Just wanted to, you know, put that out there so that you, you know, we knew who she was calling in.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Q.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have a very, very in-tuned person. I was wanting to have her on the show with us Tuesday, but that, you know, that, unfortunately, I know she had other commitments. But I'm always glad to have her or anyone else associated with the family on the shows as well. So just wanted to put that out there. But with that being said, family, you know, we're going to take a commercial break here. And when we come back, we're going to have Ms. Sherry Fairfax to join in on the conversation. And she's going to give us some input on some things because, you know, as you know, those that listened to the show last Tuesday, she called in and disclosed that she was dyslexic, which was the topic of the show as well. And her story, too, is a very amazing story. And I know that tonight's topic is bone marrow transplant. I'm trying to lead, I'm kind of leading in and out on it because I'm waiting on our guest to call in so that we can really tackle the issue with her. And I've got some wonderful statistics that y'all know I love to put them out there, that I'm going to put out there about the bone marrow transplant world. And I also have some, I guess, the top 10 reasons why some people figure, you know, they don't want to give or they don't want to be on a bone marrow transplant list. Some of y'all are going to be surprised to find out what these reasons are. And I'll tell you where you can go to find them. But y'all need to remember one thing. If I ruled the world, it wouldn't be that way. We'll be right back, family. Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Without cops harassing, imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters, no welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These streets strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blend read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Paradise life relaxing, black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast, lost tribal Shabbat, free at last, brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do, trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision, the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies, history's so foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta, Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It sound foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
Right up to the sun, hand in hand, we'll
living worry. Ducked down in car seats, he's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get late. Flip the ace stack to safe, millionaire planner, use the gap with the cock hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit, I push the 245 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny, I thought I'd never.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
That's right, family. Let's talk about it. You listen to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Got a hot topic for you tonight, sensitive topic for you tonight, should I say, bone marrow transplant. And we're very fortunate to have, again, with us tonight, Mrs. Phyllis Taylor, whom I'm surprised, again, I did not realize that she was actually, until I did the research as well, that she was actually, afflicted by the sickle cell condition or disease. And also we've got one of our radio personalities out in the Los Angeles area that's joining us tonight, Q, Lady Q. Always good to have her a part of the show. And with that being said, Phyllis, we had a question for you, but before we get the question out there, I'm going to open up the lines because I'm thinking that this is, I guess, that we were waiting on. Hello,
770-827? Yes, this is Taylor.
Hey, Taylor, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good, Taylor. Taylor, glad to have you. Very excited about having you on the show. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling wonderful.
Good, good deal. We've got Miss. You know Miss Phyllis Thomas?
Yes.
She's on with us as well. And also we've got another one of our radio personalities. Her name is Mrs. Q. She's out in the Los Angeles area. She's on as well. To keep a long story short, Taylor, can you tell the family a little bit about yourself, your situation, and just basically, you know, what you would like to see happen?
Sure. Well, my name is Taylor John. I am 15, a junior at Stevenson High School, and I was diagnosed with sickle cell a few months after I was born. I've been battling disease my entire life and in the hospital 4 to 5 times a year, weeks at a time sometimes. What I would like to see happen is more people sign up for the bone marrow drive so that we're able to find matches for not only me but other children as well.
Thank you. Thank you. You mentioned the bone marrow drive, the bone marrow transplant list. Phyllis, could you give us some more details about how people are able to sign up for the bone marrow transplant list?
Okay, first of all, there are now in the Atlanta area, we're fortunate enough to have a site where you can go, and that's being ran over at the Apex Museum by Mr. Dan Moore. He's also the founder of Marrow for Life. So if you're not in the Atlanta area and you still want to get on the registry, you can contact the Be the Match over at marrow.org. And they also have a program where there is a kit that you can actually use at home. So they will send you the kit, you do the swab in your cheek, and you send it back, you know. And so it's just that simple to get registered.
All right, let me say this. The Apex Museum is located at 135 Auburn Avenue here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'm going to say it again, 135 Auburn Avenue is where the Apex Museum is located. And also, of the 7 million people that are on the National Bone Marrow Registry, only 8% are black. 83% of all blacks in need of a marrow transplant never receive one. And that's a very high number. 83% of all black people that fall onto this list, under the bone marrow transplant list, never receive a bone marrow transplant. That's a very, very, very high number, family. And you know, I wanna before we go back to Taylor, and Q, I know you've got some questions. I wanna say this to the family out there listening. You know, one statement that I love to make, and I stand behind this statement, is if it was you, what would you want me to do? And so I say it like that. Q, you have any questions for Taylor before we go ahead and really get into it with her?
Not at the moment right now. I'm kind of looking and doing a little bit of research on it. One thing I just wanted to say is I'm a little taken aback by them, whoever it is, about the list, you know. I think that if someone is on the list, no matter how old you are, you know, they need to follow through with it, not start the process over again, you know. So I'm a little taken aback by that. But I will have some questions a little bit later on.
Yeah, and I want to comment about that because it's very important that when you register, what happens a lot of times is that we have these donor drives for people like Taylor, and someone is moved and they're like, I want to be Taylor's match. And then when they're not, they don't then go back and say, well, she was the only one I really wanted to match for, and so I'm not interested. So it
wow.
may be 3, 4, 5 years down the line, and they get this phone call that says, we found someone that you match, and we need you to come in for further testing. And then they're unavailable.
Wow.
So that's very disheartening for people who are already having a hard time finding a match, so much so that the Be the Match people. I will say it's the July is African American Bone Marrow Awareness Month, and that was instituted by the National Marrow Donor Program and the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation because it is so important that we understand that these are genetics. Okay, in order to be a match, you have to match the protein markers, which are called HLA types, and those are inherited. So that's why it's important that more African Americans get on the list, because we have a high African American need, and an African American is probably going to be more, of a match than any other race. Not to say that another person from another race can't be the match, but the likelihood is shortened when you cross over into another race because of the genetics.
Wow, powerful stuff there. You know, and that's very interesting. You know, and I want to point something out too about something that Taylor said that was very interesting. And I asked her the question, which was, "What would you like to see happen?" You know, she didn't say, "I would like to see somebody show up as a match for me so that I could be saved." You know, she said that she would like to see more people get on the list.
Yeah.
You know, I liken that myself to someone saying to you, hey, here's one wish that you can have. What would you like for it to be? And she gave it to the rest of the recipients on the list. You know, to me, family, that sounds like, you know, and at such a young and tender age, one of the most selflessest things I've ever heard come from another person. And that was very, very, very interesting, Taylor. But with that being said, Taylor, from what I understand, you're running out of time on the list, Taylor. Can you talk to the family about that and tell us what that's all about?
Sure. Well, the Children's Hospital won't do a bone marrow transplant after I turn 16 because they would like to see me off for the next 5 years, and you leave the Children's Hospital at around 17, 18, so they would like to track you normally. But if the children's hospital won't do it, most likely I'll be able to go to an adult hospital and get the bone marrow transplant done there.
Okay. So my understanding was that you were going to be taken off of the list at some point?
No, I won't be taken off the list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
This is Phyllis.
Okay.
I don't think that she'll be taken off the list. I think what's important to understand is that bone marrow transplants in children have been much more successful than they have been in adults. And because if you think of Taylor at the age of 15 and you compare all of the problems that she's had up until this point, and then you take someone like myself and add another 30 years to that, the likelihood of me surviving a bone marrow transplant is going to be a lot less than what hers would be. And the process is somewhat different as well. They don't even do the process from children to adult is even different. So that's why this time clock is so-called ticking away, because once she turns 16, then they will have to consider the more, you know, a different type of transplant for her.
Oh, okay. So I understand. So as she's 16, prior to her 16th birthday, you know, it's a different procedure that will be in place is what it is, right?
Yeah, it has something to do with them, you know, killing off the bone marrow, because, you know, she has to go through a major process, and I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I do know that they really just kind of started a little group, a test market for adults, and I think they did 10 adults, and 8 or 9 of them were successful, but with children, they have much more experience as it relates to sickle cell disease.
Wow. Q, I know you, Q, was that you saying that you had a question, Q?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I was curious if anyone knows. How do they determine where and when to place a child or adult on the list? Is it by the severity of the symptoms, the conditions that's, that the child or the adult is having, or is it another factor?
Well, I'm going to let Taylor answer first. Taylor, do you know when or why they suggested you to be to perhaps get a transplant?
Taylor, before you answer that, Taylor, are you near your computer?
I can get to one.
No, I was asking because I was getting a lot of feedback from your phone. I was going to say, if you're trying to listen on a computer, there's a delay. There was a lot of feedback. But go ahead, sweetie. Go ahead and answer that for us.
Okay. Well, I was put on the list when I was 10. But more recently, they've been wanting me to find a match because as of lately, I've been getting, I wouldn't say worse, but I've been in the hospital more. I have more pain. It's taking stronger medicines to keep the pain at bay sometimes. So I guess you could say it's getting worse, but not necessarily. It's taking a lot to keep me at a point where I can stay at the hospital for long periods of time.
Wow.
So I guess that's what they base it off of.
And for a joint
effort.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
No. Go ahead.
I was just curious again also, do they ever bump another person off of the list and put another person ahead of that another person? Do they determine that factor, or is everybody just placed on the list and once someone comes up, they take the first person off the list? I don't know if I'm saying it right.
I know exactly what you're saying, but I would venture to guess that that wouldn't be necessary because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have that many people on the list that would be using the same pool of recipients. You know, it's probably not going to be like 3 or 4 people that are looking at this one person as a match.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? There's probably each person is probably a genetic match for an individual that would not even be a match for another person.
Wow.
Okay.
So I don't think that they really run that risk of being bumped or deciding which one gets it, so to speak. But for adults, there are so many complications. The only real treatment that they have is like blood transfusions. And with all of the blood transfusions comes iron overload, and that sits in the liver and causes problems with the liver. So as you get older and as the disease progresses, you are dealing with many more complications.
Wow.
So that's why it's important that if you are on the list, that you get on there as early as possible, because for African Americans, it's going to be a long wait.
Wow. You know what? Here's some interesting stuff I want to put out there for the family, too. I know that I said it earlier in the show that I was going to mention what I found to be some of the 10 top reasons why people don't like to donate. And here they are. I want to put that out there. The first one was that people say they don't like needles or they're afraid of needles. And I have to be honest with you. I think everybody pretty much feels that. However, most donors will tell you, that it's not as traumatic when it comes to the needles as you would think that it would be. The second reason is that people are saying that they're too busy. They're too busy to donate. The third is that no one ever asked them, and they didn't realize that their marrow or their blood was needed. Well, now you do if you listen, and now you're being asked if you're listening. Number four is, they already gave. Some people say that they gave blood. But see, I need for people to understand this, that giving blood to the Red Cross and donating bone marrow are two different issues. And a lot of folks don't really understand that. Some people have said that they, number five, is that they're afraid that they will get AIDS. Here's a fact. It's not possible to get AIDS by donating blood or bone marrow. A new sterile needle is used for each procedure and equipment and so forth and so on. So that's kind of like, I don't know, family. Number six, my blood isn't the right type. That's one for the doctors to kind of decide. Here's number seven. I don't have any blood to spare. Selfish. That's the only word I can use to describe that. Number nine, they won't want my blood. I'm too old. I've had an illness. That's something for the doctor to decide, because there's going to be a battery of tests and screening that you're going to have to undergo to determine whether or not you are a suitable match for anyone at any event. And at the end of the day, you may have had chicken pox or something else, but, at the end of the day, and I'm just putting chicken pox out there, again, it's for the doctor to decide. The one thing that I can say is that at least you stepped up and you took a shot at being a match for someone. And number 10, I have a rare blood type, so I will wait until there is a special need. I am that person that has a rare blood type, O positive. And I'm going to say this to you, even if you have a rare, there are people with rare blood types that are on these lists and that are in need of your help. And it's even more so for them, because if you know you're walking around with a rare blood type, then you should know that there is someone who's on that list with that blood type, the same rare blood type, who is as much in need as you would think that they're not. So I wanted to put those out there, and I guess I want to start with Taylor. Actually, Taylor, you had any thoughts on some of what I just mentioned, Taylor?
Yes, actually. When you said I don't have enough blood to give, that sounded kind of silly to me, because your body makes new blood every day. So... Mm-hmm. If you undergo a bone marrow donation, it's not, you're losing a lot of blood most of the time. Well, ever, you're not losing a lot of blood. Your body will remake that in a day and a half. So that shouldn't stop anyone. Nothing should stop anyone from donating.
Very well said. Very well said. Phyllis, you have any comments about some of what I just mentioned?
Yes, I think when you look at the reward, it's worth the price, regardless to what it is. I think that if it were your child, there would be no excuse good enough. And so I think we have to, take that same approach, because if we do a lot of talk about I am my brother's keeper. Well, what about if I am my brother's life? I have the ability for my brother to live another day. And with something like sickle cell disease, the Soldier Network was really designed to help people become more aware of the battle. And if you knew the suffering that existed and you had an opportunity to stop someone's suffering, I'd like to hear the excuse. That would be good enough.
Wow. Powerful, powerful. Q, what's up? You got some comments on that, Q?
Well, just basically to let everyone know to kind of take a look at themselves and see that this disease affects a lot of people, whether being a trait or being the actual disease. And we also have to take a look at it actually, it affects a lot of the African-American community, and we do need to step up and be that brother's keeper and help out as much as we can and cannot be afraid. One thing that I hear that a lot of people say as far as, and if I'm wrong about this, or maybe you can kind of explain it, Ms. Phyllis.
Okay.
A lot of people say that when they give the bone marrow that it's something that hurts. I guess they're afraid of needles or anything like that, a poker or a pinch, I don't know. But I've heard that before, and sometimes that stops people from donating, you know, just the thought of the pain, donating. Maybe that's something that's a myth or something like that. I don't know. Maybe you can explain that. But I feel that everyone do need to take their part and help out another, because the greatest reward that you can do is to help another person out.
Right. And I can't address that with any certainty, but, of course, Sherry Fairfax has actually been a donor. And from the individuals that I have had contact with who actually gave bone marrow, I was told that it was discomfort, but there was no pain. And afterwards, it felt as though the ones who actually had, because, see, there are three types of donations that will cure sickle cell. One is through the cord blood, which comes from a baby, you know, right after birth. They take that cord and they, you know, bank that blood and then provide the transplant through that. The next is stem cells. And what they do with that basically is they give you a shot for 5 days, and then on the sixth day, I think they have you to come in, and that those shots really kind of help bring those stem cells to the surface so that they can take them out. So they, on one arm, they're taking your blood out. It's going through a machine that pulls the stem cells out, and then they're putting that blood right back in. So
they're basically giving you back your blood.
Yeah,
wow.
They're just taking out the stem cells that they need. And the stem cells that they're pulling out is the ones that they made come to the surface. It's not anything that you were going to need, you know. And so, and then with the actual bone marrow, where they actually have to go into the bone, that procedure is a little more detailed because you have to go under anesthesia. But even after that, they say it's just a soreness. It's not like, oh, my God, I just had a baby.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
And the results are what outweigh any of the discomfort.
We have a knock at the door, and I think I know who this lady is. Y'all have spoke her up. Sherry Fairfax, she's still knocking at the door. Hey, wait a minute. I'm coming. All right, Sherry, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Let me in. Because
yeah, let you
donor.
In, huh?
Yes, let me in. I was a donor, and I was very proud to be selected as a donor. I actually signed up through the American Red Cross, which I had worked for, and they asked me would I want to go on the bone marrow registry at that time when you donated blood. So, however, I said yes, and 7 years after that time in which I signed up to be on the bone marrow registry, I got a call. I was busy doing my work, and they said, you actually have genetically matched for a gentleman that has acute leukemia in which you can help to save his life. So at that time, I stopped everything I was doing because when I heard save a life, that was important. I could drop everything I was doing, and I did that. At that point, I found out, well, what would you need of me? And I found out that the doctor would determine after going through a physical that he would determine he needed stem cells for this recipient. Of course, this was a stranger to me, okay? And I'm saying this specifically to the African-American community and minority community, we don't step up to the plate because of the fact in the past, Tuskegee 626 and other things that have happened has made us not trusting of the medical community. However, when we take the blind eye to dealing with that and say, hey, it's not near mine, I'm not going to deal with it, and we die because most likely the African-American, he's 38-year-old male that I, like I said, he had has acute leukemia that I type-mapped for. If I wouldn't have donated, he had very likely that he would die. He was already in a critical situation. So, therefore, I went through the process, donated. I got a shot of filgrastim because they determined they needed stem cells from my body for this recipient, and I was able to donate in the hospital at Emory Hospital for him. And it was simple. Like Phyllis said, she's very, very knowledgeable in the process. It's that they didn't take my blood. They took my blood out. They skimmed off the excess stem cells and put the blood back in. It's what you would call through an apheresis machine. So it was, I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose a thing. Now, I did feel some discomfort, but I'm going to tell you, my father was a Marine, and I felt like I was not a wimp. I was not, yeah, hoorah. I was not a wimp, and I could do this, okay? I felt honored to do this. To be honest, I have been asked specifically from the African-American community, why did you do this? I don't think you should do this. Why should you take a chance? I said, I felt God asked me. And so, therefore, if God asked me and I matched with someone, how could I deny that, okay? What if it was me or mine and I needed a stranger to step up to the plate like Taylor does? She needs someone out there to recognize and not be selfish. And if they go through a little bit of discomfort, I'm going to tell you, so be it. So be it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We live through things, and you need to be not so sticking your head in the sand. Taylor needs someone to not be selfish. She's a beautiful little girl. She's a teenager, adolescent. I've met her. She's beautiful. And if you knew her, you would swab your cheek and go on the registry. And if you need me to talk to about the stem cell process or even bone marrow, I would be happy to be available if you were called. You could be called for Taylor or you could be called for someone else. What is the difference? You are helping to save a life. African Americans and minorities need to understand the importance that we need each other. We're not going to type match, most likely, for someone outside of our race, okay? My guy, I call him, he was, you know, African-American. He's my guy. Whenever, if I ever get
the nothing you can say
him,
can take me away from my guy.
My guy. If I ever meet him, he might look very similar to me, and I'm going to be happy that he's living. He was actually released from the hospital a month after receiving the stem cells, okay? They broke his body down. It was an old movie called The Boy in the Bubble. So they would break his body down so he wouldn't fight off the stem cells that would be donated to him, okay? It's very critical. Now, let me say this. If I backed out because I'm tripping out, I'm wimping out, I don't think I want to go through with this, he's already been compromised. He most likely will die. He was already sick before. So when you think of being on the registry, be serious about it. Be thinking, I mean, I'm proud. I'm very proud. It was the most, I received more than I gave. That's all I can explain. And if anybody has questions, I want to stop talking and answer any questions because I was a donor. If anyone thinks to have any questions out there on the process.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I started out the segment, I mean, not the segment, but the title of the show, I started asking a question about whether or not anyone knew any real heroes. And I think in my book, you are definitely a hero to have undergone that process. What do you think, Pam?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Taylor, you got any comments for Sheree?
There, she might be gone.
Taylor? Oh, she's there. I see her. Okay. All right, Q. We'll go with Q. Q, you got any comments for her?
Not at the moment. I do, but I just wanted to say this actually to the listeners. It's detrimental. It's very important. If you don't keep your contact information up with anybody else, because, you know, a lot of people go through numbers like water, you know, different telephone numbers, please keep it up with this organization or whatever organization that you could do to touch another person's lives. It's very, very important to do that. That's all I need to say.
Absolutely.
And let me
Phyllis, you know what? I have a question for you, Phyllis.
Okay.
And this was a question that was posed earlier in the show, but I didn't get an opportunity to give it to you. But I want to give it to you before you go with that comment right there. And I don't want to ignore questions that people, you know, put out there for us. But, you know, it was asked of me to ask of you, when you talk about the episodes that people or that the folks that are afflicted with sickle cell go through, I guess, and if I'm incorrect with the question, maybe I'll get it again, but can you describe sort of what that episode is like, what actually happens? I'm asking from what changes does the body actually undergo? What happens with sickle cell?
Okay, let me tell you. Let me first explain what is happening in the body. The sickle cells have a shape like a crescent moon, or some say a banana, and they don't get through the blood, they don't get through the vessels like normal blood cells, because normal blood cells are very flexible. Sickle cells are very sticky, and they get caught and they get stuck. And when they get stuck, they block oxygen from flowing to the necessary organs. And depending upon where they get stuck, a person can experience extreme pain. A lot of time for children, they experience strokes when the blood can't move past the vessels in the head. And so it's like having someone beating a hammer if it gets stuck in your elbow. And that's why a lot of times, if you know someone with sickle cell, you can be sitting, holding a conversation, laughing and talking, and you can leave out of the room and return, and they are in excruciating pain. It's one of those diseases that is so unpredictable. You don't know when or where it's going to attack. And so you're left to figure out, how will I deal with the next time it gets stuck? And it could be anywhere. It could be arms, legs, mostly in the joints. But you have a lot of people who have problems in the stomach, the back. You have acute chest syndrome and so many different things. And whenever oxygen is being denied, organs begin to die. And so you have all of these things, and so, you know, it just wreaks havoc on the body. And it's very painful when you experience a sickle cell pain crisis. And a lot of times oxygen is like your best friend, because it helps to push those cells through.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that there is no amount of pain medication that can take away sickle cell pain.
I have a question,
Don, just really quick.
Go ahead, Q, take your time. Q, go ahead.
Once you go through the bone marrow transplant process for the recipient, once they have it done and it's all said and done, do they have to go over that process again later on in life? Or we're just saying from a child going on, but do they have to go on through that process again, or is that's it for them?
I can speak on that. There's a possibility, I'm sorry, this is Cherie Fairfax, the donor, that my recipient could possibly need stem cells again or bone marrow. And I already know that I'm a tight match. However, yes, that's a possibility. It depends on his condition. I will tell you, he was released from the hospital 1 month after the donation into a good condition, and so far he's still doing well. And we're talking about 2 years after the fact of the donation at this point. So far I consider that a success. And when he was released from the hospital. I thought I had a baby. I mean, I don't know him, but I was like, he's alive. You know what I'm saying? And it was very touching. I'm very touched that he, you know, through my process of standing up to the plate and his process, that he's making it. He's making it so far. That's what Taylor needs, or someone like Taylor, or someone else that needs this kind of either bone marrow or stem cell.
Interesting.
One other question. I'm sorry, just in case the listeners, because I had someone ask me this. Is there a certain age that a person has to be in order to be on that donor list?
You can't be past 61 years old, because they feel there's a possibility it could compromise you. So they safeguard you. They're not just putting you out as a guinea pig in the process. They check my body through Six Ways to Sunday to make sure that I was healthy enough to be able to go through the process for the recipient and myself. So 61 years old, they won't take you on the registry after that point.
Wow, I didn't know that. Good question, Q. Like I said, family, very insightful lady over there. She definitely covers the corners on something. I didn't realize that. Great question. Did we get Taylor back with us yet?
I'm not here.
Okay, good. Because I had asked you earlier in the show, not earlier in the show, but a few minutes ago. Did you hear Sharice's story about how she donated? I'm sure you know, you probably know it by now, but I wanted to get your opinion on what she did as far as being a donor. I wanted to know what your opinion on it was.
Okay. I heard her story a few months ago, and it touched me because she told me that at first when they called her, she thought someone was playing with her. And then they told her it could save a life. And she was like, oh, okay. And so she dropped everything, and she was like, where do I go, what do I need to do? And that's the type of attitude that we need people to have, because when you hear that it can save a life, it's like, would you really turn someone away, or is their life less important than a few ounces of your bone marrow?
Wow. You know, I'm going to say this because I know we've touched on it, but y'all, you know, for those of you who are listening to the show for the first time, I'm going to tell you, you know, don't get shocked, don't get alarmed, but on this show we speak our minds. That means the host, that means the guest, that means everyone that's, you know, has the nerve to call in, so don't be alarmed. But I'm going to take the gloves off a little bit on this one because, you know what, and for those of you out there, let me go ahead and put the disclaimer out there that the thoughts and opinions of one host are not necessarily connected with all of those that are affiliated with EOTM. That means that basically, family, I get paid to do what I do, so don't hold everybody else accountable. If you got a problem with it, you know, send me an email. With that being said, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, I think it's very sad, and I think that we should hold ourselves, myself included, and I'm including myself in this, because I, you know, through ignorance, have not bothered to become a donor or be tested. So I don't fall any shorter than anyone else. So when I put this out there, family, I'm talking about myself as well. I think it's very sad that we have not educated ourselves on this bone marrow issue that's affecting us. You know, I put a statistic out there earlier in the show that of the 7 million people on the National Marrow Registry, only 8% are black. And 83% of all blacks in need of a marrow transplant never receive one. That's a very high number. And frankly, I'm ashamed because, you know, at the end of the day, we have a tendency to look at situations and issues that are afflicting others and say, hey, that's your problem. Well, it's too easy for us to do that. It's too damn easy for us to say, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about that because it's not affecting me directly. It's not affecting my son. It's not affecting my daughter. It's not affecting me. That's not the way it works, family, because in other communities, when there's an issue, whether it be with law enforcement, whether it be with sickle cell, whether it be with whatever's out there, those other people have a tendency to look at that. And you want to know what they say? They say, you know what? Hey, they're over there bothering Jim. I'm not going to wait until he comes to my doorstep. I'm going to step up to the plate. We're going to form a committee, and we're going to attack this. So what I'm saying to you is this, family. I think that it's a rally. I think it's a call, and not just for little Taylor's sake, but for all of our sake, to step up. And I think that we owe each other to step up to the plate and just simply go get registered. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what does it really take to offer someone an opportunity at a normal life. Now, with that being said, we have another caller on the line, 678 out of the Atlanta area. You're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. You have any comments for us today? Okay.
Not right now. Not right now. I'm listening.
Okay. What's up, Rosalind? I know who you are.
Don, do you mind if I want to send out a challenge? When I started the SCD Soldier Network, one of the things that really echoed in my heart and in my mind was how many times someone that I know has said, oh, if there's anything I can do, let me know.
Mm.
The SCD Soldier Network is that answer. We you know, of course, we're connected with the sickle cell community, and we're asking them, you know, what are your needs? We want to let people know what your needs are. And for those fortunate enough to even be considered to be a transplant recipient, even if you have sickle cell and you're not able to get on the list, you could host a donor drive.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to your church or your job or whatever entity that you are connected with and host a drive. Because like we said, yeah, time is ticking, and perhaps, you know, someone listening today is a match for Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, we just need more people on the registry. That is
right.
The ultimate goal. And so my challenge is that you take a sense of responsibility and
mm-hmm.
say, I'm only one person, but I think I can rally up enough people to come and sign up and let my one action multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I just
you know
want
what?
To send
and,
that out.
And Phyllis, you know what, Phyllis, if you don't mind, that Soldier Network, can you do me a favor and put that information out there now? Because, you know, and for all you, all the family out there that normally call in on Fridays anyway, Fridays is your call in and shout your business out days. Well, today we're going to shout out the donor business. So, Phyllis, shout us out and give us some information on how we can become a part of the Soldier Network. I mean, some great details on it.
Okay. Well, first of all, you can go to our website at scdsoldiernetwork.com. If you go to the recruiting station page, there is a form that you can fill out. You fill out your name and your contact information, and that puts you into our database and makes you a part of our registry. Whenever there's anything going on in your city, we are a national organization, and we have soldiers around the United States. And whenever there's anything going on in your city, you'll be contacted, and we'll ask you to support that. Whether it's an awareness event, whether it's a blood drive or, you know, even a marrow drive. And the Soldier Network is really taking up the cause now because we do know that bone marrow transplants is the only cure that we have right now. And so if we're going to be supporting those with sickle cell, we want to do it in every aspect that we possibly can. I will be setting up training classes on how to become an advocate for sickle cell. We'll be setting up speaking engagements. So anything that you can do to help bring more awareness to sickle cell disease, we need you to do that, and we need you to become a part of the network. So going to the website would be the easiest way to go. However, you can also call. The number to the office is 770-460-8016. Again, that number is 770-460-8016, and we'd be more than happy to get you signed up and let you know what you can do to help support others that have sickle cell disease.
That's absolutely correct. We appreciate that. Family, we need to pay some bills and take a commercial break, and we're going to come right back. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and tonight, family, we're talking about bone marrow transplants. And I know our wonderful guests over there Taylor's been hanging in there with us, and we're really glad to have her here with us tonight, fam. But when we come back from the commercial break, outside of the information that we just put out about the Soldier Network, I'm going to chop it up with Taylor a little bit more because I do have a lot of questions for her. I'm trying to cut you. Taylor, I'm trying to break you in kind of easy. You know what I mean?
I'm all right.
All right, Taylor, well, I tell you what, when we get back, since you're all right, we're going to chop it up. All right? So stick with us, family. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I feel like I don't know why we do what we do.
Have you been wishing? Have you been wishing for an alternative night to get all dressed up and have a good time?
Club Revolution, 1327 West Colton Avenue, Redlands, California, 92374. Live music. Cover charge is $10, VIP $25, 21 and over. Dress code, dress to impress. No tennis shoes, no baseball cap, no tees. For the grown and sexy. Come on, California. Location, Club Revolution, July 28th, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Come on, y'all, let's get in the game. Hit us up, getinthegame.webs.com. All right? This has been brought to you by EOTM Radio.
Taylor? Hello, hello. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And we are back live. We're talking about bone marrow transplants tonight. Got some interesting information that we're putting out there for the family. Taylor, are you still with us, Taylor?
Yes, I'm with you.
Hey, that song there, that was dedicated to you, young lady.
Thank you.
It's called The Caged Bird Singing. That's right. I don't know who the artist is. I have to go back and read it, but that was definitely dedicated to you. You know, and I know that, you know, from your personal story, you're 15 years of age, and, you know, and I maybe I had my information wrong, but I was under the impression that once you were, that you were 16, that you would be taken off that bone marrow list. But I'm happy to hear that there are other places or that you will be allowed to continue on your search and hopefully come up with a match. But, you know, I want to ask you a very personal question as far as, you know, growing up with the sickle cell condition. You know, can you give the family some more insight on what that was like? I mean, how do you think that it's affected your childhood, the normalcy of your childhood?
It has definitely affected my childhood a lot, I would say, because children with sickle cell can't normally participate in, like, after school activities like cheerleading and sports and things like that. I haven't been in a sport before because we get tired easily. You never know when you're in pain. You'll miss practices, just things like that. When I'm in the hospital, at least a week sometimes. It's just been very, very hard.
You know what, Taylor, it almost sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, it almost sounds like you've been kind of forced to grow up a little quicker than others would have. Would you agree with that?
I would. I definitely would.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, you certainly sound very mature for your age, and you're very well-spoken, too. I'm very proud of you because, you know, I'm going to tell you, not everyone, adult or teenager, can be as well-spoken and as articulated as you have been here tonight. I definitely appreciate that in you. Q, you have any questions for Taylor?
Not at the moment right now, other than how you doing. You know, I know this has taken a toll on you and your body, and it has altered your life, like, traumatically, I'm sure. How are you doing?
Wow.
I'm done.
Okay. Go ahead, Taylor.
That's what I was done.
Okay. You know what, and I want to say this. You know, earlier in the show, family, I asked Taylor a question. For those of you who are just tuning in, also the number to call in is 718-664-6543. And the blog room is open, family. I had a few comments and a few folks in the chat room with me tonight, but the chat room is open for those of you who normally go into the chat room and send your comments. And for those of you who are instant messaging me, I'm getting a lot of instant messages, and, you know, and for this particular show, I'm doing a lot of research, and I'm handling that on my own. So I see your comments, and I will read those comments at some point later in the show. But I want to say this to the family out there that's listening. You know, at the top of the show, I asked Taylor a question, and this was so profound, I want to repeat it again. I asked her a question, which was, what would you like to see happen? Give us more about yourself. What would you like to see happen? You know something? Rather than say, I would like to see someone step up and be a match for me, you know, her comment was what she would like. She asked the question of what she would like to see happen by simply saying she just would like to see more people step up and be tested or step up to the plate and join the donation, bone marrow donors list. And I think that was so profound for someone in her particular situation to not think of herself at a time, and I liken that to saying, you know, hey, you remember Lawrence Arabia, the genie in the bottle? The genie says, hey, you get three wishes. Well, she only had one wish, and it was that everyone would step up and, you know, go to the donors list. Now, with that being said, you know, I put myself in that category, you know, as someone who has been ignorant of certain facts. So, you know, and it's not a shameful thing. I just didn't know. And I know many of you out there just didn't know. But that's what the purpose of the show is, so that you do know. But here's what my challenge is, to pick it back off of what Phyllis mentioned earlier. And I challenge folks, and y'all know I can get radical with it. But here's the deal. Once you know better, is it easy for you to go back? Because now we know better. Now we know that there is a need for us to step up to the plate, regardless of where we are and regardless of what we do or don't do. Now we know. So the challenge, therefore, is once you know better, do you step back or do you step up? What do you think about that, Phyllis?
I think it's very important. I think it's so true. You know, I deal with sickle cell patients all the time, and one of the major things that has been challenging is getting them to open up and share what their experience has been. And a lot of times I get the same answer, why, who's going to care, or what can they do about it anyway? And I think this is a prime opportunity to be able to send the message loud and clear, I care, and this is what I will do.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm sorry, go ahead, Phyllis.
No, that wasn't me.
I was going to say, this is Cherie. I cared, and it made a difference. And sometimes I really wish someone out there, I know the questions exist about the fear, and I would be happy to answer the questions associated to possibly being called on as a donor. I know there's a lot of fear, a lot of misnomers and things like that. No, it wasn't me or my kids that needed the transplant or the stem cells or the bone marrow. However, it was someone else, and it made a difference. That's all that mattered to me. I believe in karma. What we give is sometimes what we receive. So if you believe in this universe, is that, you know, sometimes it may be your blessing that comes back in an indirect way. That's all you need. That's all it is.
You know, I like the way you put that, Cherie, because, you know, we got a lot of Bible-toting folks out there. Family, I'm going to take the gloves off again. Y'all know I'm about to get radical. You know, we got a lot of Bible-toting folks out there, a lot of Christians. We live in a Christian nation, and I'm not badgering you Christians out there, because I'm one myself, so don't think that. So I'm just going to put it out there. We always talk about the churches. We always talk about the need to support our churches and the need to do all these wonderful things in the community. Well, family, let me just ask a question. When in the heck are the churches and the folks in the church going to come out and support the community? Because I say it like this. When Jesus was here, he didn't come in here to say, look, I'm going to go in here and spend time in the church. He came to go out there and deal with those folks that were in the street. Well, I liken that to say this. The need is in the streets for those people that are out there with the sickle cell conditions, the people that are on the donors list. We have enough churches filled with enough people in the city of Atlanta alone to spice the hell up out of that damn donors list. And I say that because if everyone felt the need to go to church, and I don't knock it now, don't get me wrong, and to put a dollar in church, what would it count or what would it cost for you to also feel the need to give a sample of your saliva to the foundation and perhaps become a donor and save a life? And I say that as a challenge, not just to the folks at large who are listening here, but also to the churches, because I think, again, the church is a great place to start for those Christians out there who like to quote the Bible and say things like, well, and I'm not picking on you now, I'm just simply saying all you folks who believe in eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and all this other great stuff, now's your opportunity to step up and give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, however you want to articulate that. So I'm putting it out there. So I hold, and on this show, I bar none, because I absolutely believe that. You know, we have a duty as a society to step up when the need arises and when the need doesn't arise, because who knows, you may not get called, but we have a duty to do so as a society. And so people like Taylor and so people like Ms. Phyllis Thomas here can have a better chance and have a better quality of life and not go through some of the things they've gone through. You know, one of the most ignorant comments that I've ever heard made about sickle cell and also about the Haitian disaster came from Pat Ewalk Robinson. That's right, Pat Ewalk Robinson. And he made a comment about the Haitian people going through the earthquake disaster because they made a pact with the devil because they decided to, and he was referencing the fact that they fought for and won their freedom away from slavery back in the day, and they also maintained their freedom and had to fight to keep it. She says that they made a pact with the devil in order to do that. Well, you know what? If they made a pact with the devil to be free, then who made a pact with the devil to capture them? You follow what I'm going? How evil was it for them? How much more evil was it for them to come out from under the boot of tyranny versus the boot that was put on their neck? So I said it to say this, family. When we think about such things, when we talk about sickle cell, he also made some ignorant comments about the sickle cell disease back in the day, saying that it was primarily an African-American condition and, you know, it was a curse. Let me tell you something. Misbeliefs, ignorant comments, and a lack of knowledge are what I personally think are some of the prime reasons why some people, why people choose not to donate and to be on the bone marrow list. Now, I also have done some research in all fairness, and I can certainly say this. Some of the procedures that are done are very painful. You know, I won't use the word very painful, but they're very uncomfortable. Let's just say that. But, you
not
know, I like.
Can I speak on that? Not very. It depends
okay.
on your tolerance level and where what I went through.
I knew you were going to say
that. Yeah, I don't want to scare off. We it's easy for us to scare off each other as it relates to deciding to stand up to the plate. I didn't take any pain medications for, and I did feel some discomfort. However, what happens is that the stem cells were building up. I had this drug called filgrastim that allowed my body to make more stem cells. So therefore, in a dense part of my body, as a woman, in my hips and thighs, I felt some aching because my body was producing something, and my body was like, hey, you know, get this. We don't know what this is. You know what I'm saying? So I did feel some discomfort. It wasn't in the first, second, and third day. It kicked in the fourth day. On the sixth day, I went into the hospital to do the donation. I was done with it. As soon as my body was able to excrete those excess stem cells, my body was like, okay, we're going back into normal Cherie and not this. Like I was saying, yeah, I felt some achy for two days. That was it for me. And it could be different for different people. But again, I'm really trying to stress the issue. Now that I know what it felt like, I would not have a problem doing it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sheree.
Because it wasn't that extreme.
Sheree. I was leading up to that, and you did that. But and that was where I was going with it, family, was that, you know, some of the information that I have uncovered was that it was a very uncomfortable procedure. And I'm kind of thinking that, you know, some people are saying, well, it's painful. It's this, it's that, you know. And some of it is uncomfortable. That's why I changed the verbiage to uncomfortable instead of painful. But you know something, family, I want to say this. You know, think about it. Think about one thing. Your mother, because every one of us has a mother. Somebody brought us here. Your mother was uncomfortable when she brought you here and gave you life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and some people may say, well, that's a little extreme, you know, and that's not necessarily the same thing. Well, I beg to differ, because the gift of life is the gift of life regardless. And each one of you has a mother who laid her foot halfway in the grave to bring you here. So I say that to say, and then Sheree, you got ahead of me because I was going to give you the stage on that one, but I said it to say this, you know, uncomfortable or painful or not, the gift of life, who has the right to actually put a price tag on what the gift of life should really be? You follow what I'm saying? Q, you got any comments on that? Is that Taylor?
Yes, I want to say something.
Go ahead, Taylor.
The pain or discomfort you all are talking about with the procedure, I would just like to say that 99.9% of the time, it is nothing compared to what we go through.
Thank you. Thank you. You spoke the truth, your sweetheart.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
This is Phyllis. I just want to make a comment in addition to what Sheree said about karma. I want to tell you the story of a young lady who signed up to be on the registry. She signed up, and for the longest she hadn't heard anything. And then her husband got some form of leukemia and was in a desperate need for a bone marrow transplant. And lo and behold, she was a match for him.
Oh.
Wow.
And that just, you know, kind of, it was like, you know, overwhelming just to know that, you know, you did it unselfishly for anybody, and it turns out it was the one somebody that you wanted it for the most and didn't even know you had it in you.
Wow.
And so I think that, you know, you never know who you may be a match for. You don't know. And then there was another story of a young man who got on the list in college. His brother was playing football and came down with an illness, and he needed a transplant. And his brother was already on the list and was the first match that came up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know,
countless stories.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I've learned as a Masonic brother, and I say this proudly, too, for those of you who know that I am a Masonic brother, is that, you know, words are even more powerful than actions. Words have a tendency to come to life, so to speak, and I don't want to delve too far into that. But I think that with what Phyllis is sharing with us, you know, I think it's important for family to understand this, that when we receive messages, subliminally or however you want to acknowledge that you receive them, oftentimes that is your calling to act and to be in place so that you can be that blessing for someone else. And it's important for us to realize that, family, that we all have a call, regardless of where it is in life, but we have to make sure that we are in place to answer that calling. Q, I think I heard you trying to chime in a few minutes ago, Q. Did you have some comments for us, for the family, Q?
No, I just wanted to say that I agree with Taylor. That was actually, I can't even say anything else other than that, you know, very unselfish. I hope that people actually take this to heart and understand that, you know, the greatest gift they can give is to help out and re-give the gift of life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Family, you're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're talking about bone marrow transplants. We have today with us Taylor John out of the Atlanta area, who is a recipient on the bone marrow list. We have Phyllis Thomas, who is also, you know, someone dealing with the sickle cell condition. And I don't know if it's improper for me to say disease or condition. Is that improper?
No, either one is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, and family, that's important, too. You know, and if you don't know, ask. And I have no problem with asking her, is it improper for me to have referred to that as a disease or a condition? You know, I have no problem with that. So we should always ask, family, and I think that was a great example of that. But, again, we're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're talking about sickle cell anemia, which also falls under the need for the bone marrow transplant list. And we also have joining in with us Shari Fairfax, who is or was a donor at one point in time, who is in my book a true hero because she has saved a life. We also have joining in with us Q, one of the EOTM radio personalities out of the Los Angeles area, who's chiming in with the topics on the table with us today. So with that being said, family, the blog room is open. The number to call in with your comments is 718-664-6543. And, again, you are listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And I've got something that I need to put out there. We got to pay some bills. So I'll be right back after this brief break. And we're going to finish chopping it up with Miss Taylor, Miss Phyllis, Shari, and, of course, my lady Q out of the Los Angeles area. We'll be right back.
Tumbling day.
That's right.
Seven on a day.
Rise in the morning and face the sunlight. You bounce on my love and it's airtight. Sometimes I'm curious on how you feel when you're screaming out my name. Is it really for reality? Originality, my mentality. Explore every possibility. Let's get down. Shorty, time will reveal the only true test is pain. You know the deal. Love appears like bright light.
yacht. The smell of the pool water makes me hot. Ram da da, he knows the G spot. And when me up a down and forget me not. The way that he believes me in truth. And I do believe tonight you're feeling me. We can make music easily. And I'll readily give you the best of me.
Revolution, 1327 West Colton Avenue, Redlands, California, 92374. Live music. Cover charge is $10. VIP, $25. 21 and over. Dress code, dress to impress. No tennis shoes, no baseball cap, no tees. For the grown and sexy. Come on, California. Location, Club Revolution. July 28th, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Come on, y'all. Let's get in the game. Hit us up. Getinthegame.webs.com. All right? This has been brought to you by EOTM Radio.
And if you lonely, lonely and sad. Oh, we're back on the air? Oh, well, y'all know I like to tease y'all with a little bit of song anyway. You know, if some of y'all didn't know I could blow, that's okay. Now you do. So it's all good. Well, we're back listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're talking about bone marrow transplants tonight, family. And we're very fortunate to have a real recipient on the line, or actually someone who's a potential recipient on the line with us tonight, and someone who is a donor, who was a donor on the line with us tonight, sharing some interesting details and facts about the bone marrow transplant procedure. You know, and been a very insightful show. You know, as we go forward with it, I want to also put this out there. The Soldier Network is a network that's there to connect you, if you're interested, which you should be, with joining up as a donor for someone and becoming a potential match. So with that being said, I'm not going to do the honors. I'm going to give it back to Ms. Phyllis Thomas to put that information back out there about the Soldier Network.
Okay, thank you, Don. The Soldier Network is a national group, and you can reach us on the internet at scdsoldiernetwork.com. Go to our recruiting station page and fill out the information form, and that will come directly to me. That puts you in our system, and you become a part of our database. There is a comment section there, and if you just put that you're interested in more information about bone marrow, I will contact you directly and put you in contact with the person in your area that would be responsible for setting up either a donor drive or just collecting your bone marrow sample, well, you know, the test from you. So it's very important that you not only hear this, but now act. I wanted to say to Lady Q, we have a dynamic team in Los Angeles. So if there's something you want to do in that area, there's a lady there by the name of Nita Thompson, and she is on it. Again, you can also call our office, and the number is 770-460-8016, and we will do the same thing, put you in touch with the person in your area that would be responsible for bone marrow information.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a question for Taylor, too, as well. Taylor, let me ask you something, and please, you know, feel free to speak honestly, which I think you will. But, you know, the comment that I made about the church is stepping up, because I think that African-American people flock to the churches. I mean, that's one of the things that our community has been known for. What, in your opinion, do you think could happen or should happen where the churches are concerned as far as, you know, the push for folks becoming more aware of the bone marrow transplant issue?
Well, actually, I think that's a great idea, and we had one, a bone marrow drive, at my church last summer, right around when school got out, so my church is very well known about it, and they support me 120%, so I think that's a wonderful way to for people to join, because for my church alone, we had almost 200 people to join the marrow registry in one Sunday. So we did all three services, and people just came, and we swabbed the cheeks, and we had professionals come in and help us. I mean, it was wonderful, and that's another way to really get a lot of donors on the list, not to help me, but to help anyone, white or African-American, any race. It doesn't matter. So that's one of the greatest places you can have a bone marrow drive, because the people are already there. They come for a few minutes, swab their cheek, give their information, and they're out the door on the way by their business.
So,
can I ask a quick question to Taylor?
Is that Sharee? Sharee, hey, go ahead, Sharee.
Okay, so Taylor, and I know you, and I want to ask you the question, do you think that your church knew that were knowledgeable about the need for bone marrow because of you as being a member of the church, or did you think that they were knowledgeable outside of you?
That's a good question. I knew that my pastor had already known, because when I'm in the hospital, they always ask about me, and they'll ask for them to pray for me during the services. But honestly, I'm not sure. I would like to say that they knew already before, but I don't think all of them did.
And that's really the point I'm trying to make here, is that I believe that because Taylor was a member of her church, she allowed the church to be knowledgeable about an area that possibly would have been just kind of crossed over, you know, not paid much attention to, but because of her being a member, they were made aware and they cared. And so therefore, that's really the point I'm making here. Even if you, the listeners, are not comfortable with the process, please pass the word. Spread the word so other people are knowledgeable about it, can get in contact with Phyllis and other organizations, like here in Atlanta, the Apex Museum, which is a bone marrow registry area where you can go and sign up and swab your cheek and things like that. It's the thing of getting the word out. I was ignorant to it before I was called to possibly be a match for someone. So, like I say, I'm trying to emphasize, at least if you don't think you want to do this, pass the word and spread the word so the knowledge is out there about the need.
Well, I don't see why you shouldn't be able to do it. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and I like what you said, Sharee, as far as, you know, if you don't think that you want to do this. But here's my thing. You know, we as Americans, let's just get off the color thing. Let's just say Americans, because Taylor mentioned it. Taylor said it as best I think it could have been said, that it's not about black, it's about white. But, you know, let's just say it as Americans. You know, we spend a lot of money and we spend a lot of energy going to ball games and doing on a lot of frivolous things. Let's just say that. And we spend a lot of effort into watching television and fantasy worlds and, you know, so forth and so on. Here's where I'm going with this thing. The reality of it is that life and death are out there, and it exists. And, you know, we put our eggs in one basket when it comes to what I call the TV heroes, or the heroes that are given to us and handed to us. Now, I'm saying that to say this, that, you know, what is a real hero? Is a hero someone who you looked up to when you were a kid, who saved your life, be it by, you know, being there, the man or the figure in your life? Or is a hero somebody who literally said, hey, you know what, I'm going to step up, and I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to make myself available in case you need me down the road for this bone marrow transplant? I mean, at the end of the day, I think for us to be a largely Christian nation and for us to point the finger at the Arabs, at the Islamic folks over there, at the folks down in New Guinea who like to eat each other, and say that they're wrong for the things that they do, and that we stand up for so much of the right things. We went over there and we liberated Kuwait. We even found a way to help people over here vote in this country over in an election halfway around the world, and we can't even help people that are Katrina displaced vote in their own state. Now, how many contradictions do we need to put on the table for me to make my point, which is, listen, family, what is a true hero? Ask yourself that question. And the next question I want folks to look at is, if it were you, what would you want someone else to do? For you Christians out there, y'all just ask yourself, what would Jesus do? That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, with that being said, Q, what's up, Q? You're awfully quiet, Q. You got any comments on that?
I'm actually listening on a lot because actually I'm being schooled on a topic that I didn't know too much about. Like I said, my brother has a trait, and I still don't know a lot, and I do need to educate myself on it. But also to say that you say as far as the Christians, you know, it also says in the Bible to help thy neighbor, you know, so that's something that we all need to keep in consideration as well.
I love beating on the Christians, man. I mean, I know the Bible. I'm a practicing Mason. I'm a Masonic brother to my core, and I love beating on them Christians. You know, when they come up here with that stuff, oh, yeah, I love it. And don't forget, the Muslims, oh, yeah, I got something for them, too. I got something for everybody. Let's talk about it. With that being said, we got 5 minutes left. We've got 5 minutes left in the show, and as always, I want to give each of you an opportunity to give us a brief closing statement about, you know, whatever it is you want to put out there as far as the show topic of concern, you know, we'll do it in this order. I'll start with Ms. Phyllis, and I want to, like I said, we have 5 minutes, so I want to make it brief so everyone can get in it, get their 2 cents in there, and then we can wrap it up. But Ms. Phyllis, you're going to go first, and we're going to go with Cherie, then we're going to go with Q, and I'm going to save the best for last. My lady over there, Taylor. We're going to go with Taylor, save Taylor for last. All right, with that being said, Phyllis, you got any final comments for us?
Well, my final comment is that, you know, we are celebrating 100 years in the United States since sickle cell was discovered. There's been so much silence around the disease and not enough awareness. And now we're at the point where we do have a viable cure. And I think that it's very important that people recognize that without this, there will be years and years of unnecessary suffering. And if you, I mean, we talked about the church, but that's where you go to check your morality and your sense of community and sense of service. I think that's a great place to start. And I think that we should be holding donor drives in every church. We got churches on every corner in Atlanta, and it's time that we open up the doors and give people an opportunity to really show the humanity that they have inside of them.
Let the church say amen. All right. Shireen, you want to give us some quick comments? We got 3 minutes left.
Well, I just want to leave in your mind the misnomer of that it hurt so bad. It did not. It did not hurt so bad, and I'm very honored. I received more than I gave, and if someone else decided to step up to the plate, I know that they would feel the same kind of honor as it relates to that. So please take that from a person that actually did it, okay, that you could do it too, and you would feel the blessings associated with that donation. That's all.
Excellent.
I need to say.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, Q, what's up, Q?
Right.
You got some final comments for us?
I just want to, again, reiterate, you know, just like Ms. Sherry said, you know, it took them 7 years to contact her. Please keep your information updated, telephone numbers, contact information, whatever being that you put down. Please keep it updated so that if they need you, they can call on you and that you can be there to help another person out. And also to sink into your memory bank that we all need help at some point in life. So please extend your hand and re-give the gift of life.
Beautifully said, Q. Q, and also, Q, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Q. Q is, as I said earlier, family, she is one of our EOTM radio personalities out on the West Coast. Very, very insightful lady. Always welcome on this show. All right, Taylor. Taylor, what's up, Taylor? You got the final comments on this one. Go with it.
All right. You talked about how Christians need to ask themselves, what would Jesus do? I have an answer to that, and Jesus already did it. He died on the cross for us over 2,000 years ago, and if I'm not mistaken, he gave his blood, did he not?
Oh, wow.
So that's what God did to save all of our lives. So who are you to not want to help someone by giving a couple ounces of your blood? And you're not dying for them. You're just helping them out.
Wow, powerful. Very powerful, Taylor. You know, family, I want to say this to you. I want to thank all of my guests for tuning in with us tonight. And Phyllis and Taylor, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing some shows on healthcare. We're going to be talking about everything from hunger to we're going to be talking about the donor list again later on. And we're also going to be talking about restoring positive images, making yourself a better you. A lot of good stuff coming up on the shows. And you two are always going to be welcome to call in and give your comments. The shows air on Tuesdays and Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. With that being said, family, I just want to put it out there. You know what? If it was you, what would you want someone else to do? And I think that that is enough said about that. Folks, go out and get on the donor list. You know, it doesn't hurt to save a life and to give someone else a chance. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the show. And once again, as well, my guest and Taylor, I want to wish you well with your situation, family. Let's pray for her, and let's pray that, you know, someone comes through and we can establish a donor for her. And with that being said, y'all have a great evening. And again, thank you all for your time and listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, because I know I deserve a break.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Begging y'all,
tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Baby, I deserve
to wonder who's calling so damn late for you to say I'm tripping. Just a homie from the States.
That is just a homie.
Don't he know it's 1 o'clock in the morning? Say it's cool, baby, it's cool. He's coming into town
later on this evening.
And he was just wondering if you and him could hang out.
Whoa.
I don't like it, but I know I gotta trust you. It ain't cool, 'cause I know it's true.